The relaxation of social distancing across the UK has meant that many of us are getting out and about that little bit more. However, there have been some perhaps unintended barriers thrown up by this for blind and partially sighted people. Now, to tell us a little bit more and about some positive changes as well, we have with us John Dixon from RNIB. Thank you for joining us, John.
That's great. Thank you.
What were the difficulties with social distancing? What was that causing?
The obvious problem is that people who have a vision impairment aren't necessarily able to see how to socially distance from other people. And that has led to conflict. It has led to people challenging. It's led to some quite unpleasant situations. It wasn't until colleagues in RNIB Scotland asked a question in the Scottish Parliament, which identified that guiding was the kind of support that could be safely provided with additional precautions, that things started moving.
Even if you have a white cane or a guide dog, sometimes you need that physical guiding from a friend in another home, yeah, or perhaps in shops or on public transport. So therein lies the difficulty, that physical interaction, if you like.
Well, it is. I mean, guide dogs have been quite helpful in that they've updated some of their practice to include kind of tapping more audibly when you're using a cane as a kind of an audio signal. But obviously, you know, that doesn't work in every situation. You have to be confident with the route that you're taking. And guide dogs aren't trained to recognise social distancing. So all the strategies that blind and partially sighted people had previously been relying on at a stroke were made redundant. Everybody else was able to enjoy some of the relaxations, able to get out and able to enjoy socialising and leisure opportunities. But blind and partially sighted people, because there was this uncertainty about how you could provide sighted guiding support, because it hadn't been covered anywhere by the government, there just wasn't the clarity about how to do that safely. You know, it wasn't until we asked a similar question in Parliament that had been asked in Scotland, and then Matt got involved, and finally we got the minister's attention, and we've made progress since then. So what the Department of Health and Social Care has issued is a general set of guidance. It's not specific to blind and partially sighted people. It's meant for anybody who needs support to get out. So, you know, whether you're in a wheelchair, if you're deaf and using an interpreter, you know, those people as well as people who need sighted guiding support. For the first time now, we have across the whole of the UK clarity, and it covers the whole of the blind and partially sighted population. So previously we were able to provide guidance for people who were able to form support bubbles or extended family arrangements, as they're called elsewhere in the UK. But that didn't cover everyone. And it's certainly what's interesting from the new guidance that's been issued by government is they've clarified the conditions under which it's safer for staff in transport hubs, in train stations, in supermarkets, hospital clinics, all those places where you have staff who might be guiding multiple people in a day. And on top of that, you also need to have, you know, appropriate training, appropriate equipment, and be taking names and numbers so that if there is an outbreak, the people who are being guided can be contacted easily to follow the test and trace process.
Some great news there. We also have Holly with us. Holly, have you had experiences or difficulties with social distancing up until now? This must be quite good news for you.
I definitely have had difficulty, yeah. So I'm married, but my husband is more vulnerable to COVID, so he's been shielding. And even though I know technically shielding has stopped now, we haven't really changed anything that we've done. So I'm used to being able to get help from him when we're out. That's the way that it's been for the whole time that we've been together. So before we had access to the priority shopping slots, I had to do all the shopping, which I hadn't done before. And I had all the difficulties with that, that I'm sure loads of other blind and partially sighted people have told you about. And even now I'm still working. I have a job that requires me to actually go there to do it. So I've been walking to work rather than getting the bus, which is a challenge in a way. Obviously, I don't want to be on public transport now because of the risks associated with that. But walking to work also means I come into contact with people all the time. It's a familiar route, so I can do it myself, but it's more the other people that I worry about.
Where do you think you would use this now? Do you think that extra, or the go-ahead, if you like, for that physical support will now come into play?
I've been lucky that I haven't had to travel places that I can't walk to, but it's nice to have the option to know that if I did need to, you know, get on a train or something, I would be able to have help at the station. I've always struggled with things like that anyway. And the idea of doing that now, you know, on my own, maybe without any kind of help at all, would just be overwhelming. So it's kind of nice to know that even if I don't need to travel, that if I did, there would be help available.
Holly's a perfect example of who we were working for, really, with this, because we knew there were some people who could take advantage of some of the previous guidance, but we knew that there were people out there who definitely couldn't. It now means that everyone in the UK can have access to the support they need to get out and about.
Just finally, John, if people would like to learn more about the changes or indeed any of the campaigns that RNIB is involved in, what's the best way to do that?
campaigns@rnib.org.uk is the place to contact us on. Otherwise, the RNIB helpline is your other port of call if you want to actually speak to someone directly. If you've got an issue, if you've got a case study, if, like Holly, you know, that you've had problems, you're using this guidance, and let us know how it's made the difference. If you're having problems with it, equally, we would like to know, because we will be in touch with government after this. We need to know if there are any practical problems in its implementation, or if people are finding that the message hasn't gone out. We need to know about that so that we can bring it up and make sure that's addressed.
And as John said, please do call the helpline on 0303 123 9999. You can also visit the website rnib.org.uk for a whole host of information. And great news on that change. I'm sure it will make a massive difference. For the moment, to John and to Holly, thanks to both of you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.